The actions of a Royal Navy submarine has put the lives of four crew members on board a County Down trawler at risk. That's the finding from an accident investigation. Last April, the Carron had its nets caught and was dragged backwards when it was 15 miles off Ardglass. The Marine Accident Investigation Branch has said that the accident happened due to insufficient planning by the submarine command team. Paul Murphy is the boat skipper and he joins us now. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Philly.
Take us back to that night and what happened.
Well, for me, it was just a normal day. It's fishing, good fishing for us. And at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the boat violently stopped. And I assessed the situation straight away that we started rapidly going astern. I knew something at that point was totally out of place. And realised that the only thing that could be dragging us backwards would be a submarine, and we then put into play our survival instincts and decided to release our fishing gear because it was the only way out of the situation. And yeah, it ended up 30 seconds of sheer terror, is the way you said it.
Because it sounds, it does just sound horrific. At any point were you concerned for the safety of yourself, the vessel, and the other crew members?
Oh yeah, definitely. When we released the gear, actually one of our wires had fouled on the winch, so we were then pulled from one side of the boat, and that's at that point it was actually brought the boat to near capsizing, and at that point I thought that was us, you know, we were gone, you know, and I'm stuck in the wheelhouse, the crew on the deck. I don't think any of us would have survived it.
Because, as we said, 15 miles out at sea, if you had ended up in the water, what were your chances?
Well, our chances would have been slim. But basically, the distance between other vessels wouldn't have probably noticed. The only person that was going to or save us at the time would have been the submarine if it had a surfaced, you know. But obviously, they didn't. They didn't follow protocol and, you know, they're supposed to surface to preserve life, and that didn't happen.
If you hadn't have released the nets, obviously you were quite quick acting that you did that. Have you any doubt of what would have happened?
Although the boat would have foundered. Simple. And another point to make was my boat's quite a big boat. If it had been a smaller boat or a square stern boat, you know, they would have been gone in half the time of us. So, you know, it's probably lucky that they actually had a big boat like mine.
And this is, we have to remember, is your bread and butter. This is what you do to make a living. So how has this affected you and how you go about your work on a daily basis?
Well, since the accident, I haven't fished at night time, because I believe if it had happened at night time, the story would have been different, because crew would have been sleeping. You wouldn't have been able to react as quick. So at night time, I just can't face it. You know, fishing normally, I avoid places, you know, certain, it's funny how your mind works, you know, you're avoiding places where it happened and deep water, and, you know, so obviously it's going to affect our fishing ability.
Is it going to affect your pocket? Are you going to make less money as a result?
Well, we have, you know, that's a fact. You know, the vessel's not at sea the way it used to be, so our income is reduced.
So, I guess fishing is something that you would, there's an element of danger there that you might not have, say, for example, in an office job. So, every day when you step on that vessel, there would have been an awareness of the danger from you and your crew. But how has that changed now when you step on board for a day's work?
Well, like, I've been at the job a long time, and any danger that I've been in through weather and, you know, things happening to us, breakdowns and stuff, right? We're in control of that, if you can understand. You know, we can control that on a daily basis. We're trained for that. But this was totally out of our hands. And basically, all I can explain to you is we are a passenger at the time.
This report says that the Royal Navy had shown a reluctance to fully engage. That must be frustrating, because surely you want the responsibility, someone to say, look, this is our fault, this is what happened, this is why it happened, and this is what we will do to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, well, the report highlights that vessel, I think at the time you had us. So it made a decision there and then to carry on. And 3 hours later, it was contacted by its HQ and told of the situation. And still, they didn't come forward. There was questions asked by myself and by MPs and whatever, and they were asking, was it a Royal Navy submarine? And they were told no. So for 5 months, that's the story that we got.
The Royal Navy have said in a statement that we have expressed our regret and remain sorry for the incident and delay in confirming our involvement. We've revised our procedures to reduce the risk that such an incident could happen again. We're reviewing the report's recommendations and continue to work closely with the maritime community to maximise safety. Does that make you feel any better? Does that make you feel any safer?
No. You know, they said they've made, I think, 12 recommendations and revisions to the way they operate. I'm not privy to know what they are, so how can I feel safe if I don't know what they've changed?
Just before you go, I want to ask you, because not most of us listening to this will not spend any time at sea. We won't be on boats. We won't know how it works. So how likely is it, something in the back of your mind when you're out fishing, in terms of your awareness of the likes of submarines and of other boats around you?
Well, the way I look at it is anything that's on the surface we can see and we can deal with. When it's below the surface, you haven't a clue where it is or if it's there. So it's the onus is on the Royal Navy and their submarines for them to safely navigate. If we don't know they're there, we can't expect to do anything for it.
Well, they didn't seem to know you were there either. This report says it didn't know that it had snagged the Karen until 3 hours later, and so didn't resurface immediately to help.
Yeah, but there's another snippet of information there, is that the sonar team, they believe that the sonar team that were working on that submarine were beyond their capabilities at the time, because there was that much traffic. And they reported to the captain of the submarine at the time that an incident had happened. Now, they may say that they didn't know what had happened, but something happened at the time of the incident, and they knew about it, and they didn't investigate. So that's one of the protocols they need to change. Anything that does happen, either it's insignificant, they need to investigate possibilities that it could be the catching of a trawler or any fishing vessel or...
Okay. Paul, we'll say thanks to you this morning. I want to bring in the UUP MLA, Steve Aiken. Now, Steve, you're a former Royal Navy nuclear submarine captain. Good morning.
Good morning.
And just for a second as well, I want to bring in just Sinn Féin MLA, Oliver McMullen. Good morning, Oliver.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Steve. What are your thoughts on what you've heard so far?
The first thing I would like to say to Paul is that I'm very disappointed in the response from the Royal Navy. And Paul, you know, I've operated in the Irish Sea and all seas around the world for 25 plus years. And we had rigidly built into us the idea of the fishing vessel code of conduct and what we needed to do. And I'm very disappointed. And I know I'm not in the Royal Navy now, and I'm not a spokesman for the MOD, but all I would like to do is say, you know, I too would pass on my disappointment that the MOD didn't act quicker on this one. And I think, bearing in mind the amount of training we did for all around about operating in the vicinity of fishing vessels and the amount of time that we've operated in those areas, and we have been safe mariners throughout that period of time, I'm just a bit disappointed in the response that has come from it as well. But sure, I hope going forward these lessons will be learned, and I think really clearly that there are lessons to be learned from this particular platform.
This is bound to be something that's built into the training for anyone that works on submarines, that to be aware of what's above.
It is, but as I don't know the circumstances, but we, you know, they made a television program about me, and we spent a lot of time in the Irish Sea, and I think if you've seen it in the BBC, we spent an awful lot of time practicing fishing vessel avoidance, actually making sure we weren't operating in the same area the fishing vessels were there. And it's part of the core skills and what we were trying to do to develop that and move forward on those issues as well. So I just want to, from my own personal, as a a professional mariner who spent a long time at sea, I just want to say to Paul, so I'm glad something more serious didn't happen, and I'm very disappointed in the response that came from the MOD. But please take that from me. As somebody who spent a lot of time working in the RSC, I'm very appreciative of what the conditions are and the hardship that our fishermen go under. And like many submariners, we actually spend quite a lot of time on fishing vessels, learning what fishing vessels do and how they work and operate. And I think that's just one of the disappointments from that.
Steve, maybe you can shine a bit of light on this for us. The report says that the submarine believed that the Karen, the ship, the boat was a merchant vessel and therefore was safe to pass underneath, i.e. no fishing nets. So
Vinny, we need to be very careful about saying whether they were safe to pass underneath. I haven't seen the report, and I would doubt that would be the occasion and the thing anyhow, that they would actually do that. And I would imagine, because I haven't seen the report, there was an instance of breakdown in communication between either the sound room team or the command team, or something went on. And as I say, I haven't seen the report, so I'm not fully sure of all the details. But what I can say from my own time in command, particularly when you're operating in close and in inshore waters, and you know there's a lot of fishing vessels about and merchant traffic as well, you don't assume anything is a merchant vessel, and you don't assume anything isn't a fishing vessel.
Well, this report goes on to say that it was because they didn't hear the sonar noise associated with trawling. So obviously this is quite an exact science, and something went badly wrong.
I can only assume that there was some form of breakdown in communications, or there was a lot of background noise going on, or I don't know the sort of the situation around that. But what I would say is that, and I would re-emphasise that, the professionalism on normal circumstances of Royal Navy submariners is of the highest. And as I say, I've operated I've commanded two submarines. I've spent 25 years in the submarine service, and we have never, ever... we've always adhered to the code of conduct.
Yes.
Every time we were doing that, we did that.
Let's not forget, though, that these submarines are going in some of the most congested waters around the UK. So it's something that surely that's got to be the top, either hitting the bottom or hitting another vessel has got to be the top priority.
It is indeed. I mean, our submarines operate in some of the most congested seas anywhere in the world, because without going into too many details, our submarines are up threat all the time and are very much involved in lots of operations globally. And actually, they're doing a lot of things to do to keep the world a much safer place. And part of their practice and training is they need to be able to operate in those environments and operate in those environments well. And, we've been operating submarines in the Irish Sea for well over 100 years. Might sound surprising, but that is the case. And indeed, at this very moment in time, we've got a major exercise going on around the coast of Scotland, which is a major maritime exercise, which is practicing submarine operations,
okay,
surface vessel operations, maritime patrol aircraft, and all those things.
Okay, Oliver, I want to just bring Oliver in at this point. Oliver, Sinn Féin are calling for the Irish Sea to become a submarine-free zone.
Yes.
Is that a realistic...
I think
aim?
It is a realistic call, because what I've listened to there now, can I first of all say, can I commend Paul and his crew, because of Paul's quick thinking and their bravery at that time, he saved the lives of his crew. And I think that shouldn't be lost in all of this here. But secondly, I've just listened to what was said there. When we say that there is ongoing activity there to make the world a safer place, it's not making the Irish Sea a safer place for our fishermen. And thirdly, to say that a submarine in today's Navy that can't detect that they're towing a fishing boat, to say that they thought it was merchant shipping, when we have been told time and time again that they can detect people talking in other submarines, etc., and in this case they can't detect a fishing boat. Now, it goes back to 1990 when something similar happened off the coast of Scotland, when the 4-man crew of a trawler died. There was procedures put in place after that tragic accident, and that lesson hasn't been learnt yet. We don't need submarines in the Irish Sea. There's plenty of places they can go and do their exercises. We don't need them there.
Oliver, there'll be some that will say, look, this is just Sinn Féin using a potentially quite serious incident as a point scoring exercise.
I don't think it is, because what we've heard here does not make the Irish Sea safer. They had up to 60 trawlers in that area fishing. That is a known fishing area for prawns. That's a known fishing area. The MOD should know that. They should not have had their submarines,
Steve,
in that area. This
Oliver,
have been
Oliver.
Able to go under a merchant ship.
Oliver.
Because, no, listen one second. I didn't interrupt you. You know yourselves the depth that the trawlers fish for prawns. Now, are you telling me that you can go under a merchant shipping at the same depth that you fish for prawns?
Okay, let Steve respond to that. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, first of all, I don't know the sort of the... I know the areas where the trawn trawlers work quite a lot in sort of the Irish Sea. And generally speaking, submarines would have avoided it completely. So you would have marked it out in the chart and you wouldn't have gone into that particular area. That's one issue. But my main concern is this Sinn Féin statement about making the Irish Sea sort of submarine free. It's like the statement from Declan Kearney, like making Belfast International Airport, don't use the US Air Force from it. I think this is a wider sort of position being put out from Sinn Féin. The Irish Sea is part of a major submarine exercise area. It's been there for, as I say, over 100 years. I mean, the Antares incident was very, very regrettable. And there's nobody who feels sorrier for the loss of life for any seafarers than I do. And I'm particularly disturbed about this incident that happened with the Caron, because if you look at the amount of submarine activity there's been in the Irish Sea and around the Scottish coast since 1990, and the very small number of incidents that have been, compared to the tragic loss of the large number of fishermen who have lost their lives in fishing vessel activities, one of the most dangerous activities in the British Isles, for all sorts of other reasons, you would see that the submarine incidents are very, very low down on that list. And one of my real concerns is Sinn Féin trying to politicise this issue. It is vitally important.
Can I just come in on that bit there?
Yes, go ahead, Oliver.
Can I just come in on that bit there? And it's regrettable. They're regrettable that the UUP have stooped to this level and making this a political issue. I'm reading here from the Marine Accident Investigation Report, where Steve Glinch has said the submarine should not have been going at the speed or depth that it was. This is the point I'm making. 5 months after the accident, the MOD came out and made a statement about the accident. 5 months. Now, if, and thank God it didn't happen, if this boat had have sunk, we'd have been looking at another what happened to the boat, or was it seaworthy and everything else. But on this occasion here, we've caught the MOD out on this here, on their own failings.
Yes,
and
Oliver,
Oliver,
of the people that will be saying this is Sinn Féin just point scoring against the government, it's some kind of anti-British response.
Here,
yes, whatsoever. But I'm asking you for your response to that.
My response to that there, I'm responsible as a member of the DERA committee for the fishing industry. I've met with the fishing industry in this last 2 weeks to hear of their fears and moving forward with under the Brexit, etc., etc. Now, I've also tabled a question to the minister, and it's gone into the business office this morning to find out what the minister's discussions are with the MOD. For I know our last agriculture minister, Michelle O'Neill, called for an investigation into it. We've heard nothing back from that. That's not politics. That is safeguarding and looking after our fishing fleet.
But Oliver,
we have to do here. This has not anything to do with politics.
Well, Oliver, why in the statement from Chris Hazard, who I think, is he back from China yet or not? Why did he just call on British submarines? Why did he not call for American submarines not to use the IRC? Why didn't he not call for NATO submarines to use the IRC? Why did he specifically single out British submarines?
Chris was reacting to the fact on this report that it was an MOD MOD submarine.
But, Oliver, it's a fair question.
Would you call for all submarines
to be banned or just British?
If you give me time, I'll answer it. Chris was reacting to the fact it was the British submarine, after 5 months, had admitted that it was the perpetrator of this near-tragic accident. Now, why the problem with the Irish Sea and the MOD still doesn't tell us exactly how many ships or many boats.
Yes, Oliver, but just to respond to that particular question, are Sinn Féin calling for American, will they call for American submarines to be banned
from using the
Irish Sea?
We're calling for that to be a safe area for our fishing fleet.
No submarines whatsoever, regardless of where they come from.
Perhaps your last caller could tell us, with his experience in the MOD, could he tell us at any one time what nations are using our waters for submarines?
You just see the major exercise that's going off the coast that are going on.
No, I mean all the time. I don't mean just exercises. I mean on a daily, yearly basis. At one time...
Oliver, it's a bit of a moot point. The question is, let's assume that American and NATO submarines use the Irish Sea on a daily, weekly, yearly basis. Are Sinn Féin going to call for them to be stopped?
We're not working on assumptions when we're talking about the
life. So you won't say whether... You're happy to say, British submarines, you're not welcome. We don't want you in the Irish Sea because we feel that there it should be a submarine-free zone.
We know that the English submarines are in our waters.
Now,
do you want to be? Do you want to wait, Oliver, until an American submarine is involved in an incident and then call for it to be banned?
That's what I said. Now, don't start putting words in here. I've said that we need to find out who is actually using our waters, because they don't tell us anything that's happening. In fact, we're just after doing the marine bill here at the assembly.
Go ahead, Steve.
One of the clauses.
Just a second, Oliver. Steve, go ahead. Your response to that.
The MOD does not have to tell.
Now, one at a time, please. Oliver, if you could just wait for a second. Steve, go ahead.
I just need to go very shortly. But the most important thing is that there any submarines are operating in the area. The Coast Guard on Channel 16 and across all the systems say there are submarines operating in these areas. Furthermore, on every chart, there is marked submarine exercise areas. And during every exercise and every time there's a submarine operating in a given sea area, that message is passed out across by Channel 16 and pushed out for the Coast Guard. And that's been an established practice for the best part of three decades, and that continues.
Okay.
So if there's a submarine operating in the Irish Sea, the fishing vessels will be made aware of that. And the fact is that submarine operations are classified and will remain classified, and that's an important part. But the Royal Navy has worked professionally for a very long period of time. As I said at the beginning of this programme, I, like Oliver, are disappointed that it took 5 months for actually acknowledgement of this to be made. But we need to continue to be able to use the Irish Sea as an appropriate submarine exercise area to train our submariners to be able to keep our country safe. And that includes the Republic of Ireland, that also needs to be kept safe from increasing maritime threats.
Steve, wait there for a
moment. I need to go, sorry, Vinny.
Okay, Steve, thank you very much. Steve Aiken, UPMLA. Oliver, can I just ask you one more time? We've had the Sinn Féin statement saying that the Irish Sea, the British submarines should not use it because of the potential safety issues.
Yes.
Are Sinn Féin going to call for other submarines from different nations to be banned from using the Irish Sea?
I'm calling this morning that all submarines have to go out of the Irish waters. We have to
regardless of where they come from.
Regardless where they come from, we have to protect our fishing fleet.
Okay.
That's paramount.
Oliver McMullen, thank you very much.